Welcome to the Senior Zone,
where we connect older adults with the organizations and resources that serve them.
The Senior Zone's goal?
While working with local and national partners,
aims to educate, empower, enlighten, entertain, and engage older adults with the tools and information to stay healthy, happy, and secure.
Great guests, health tips, upcoming events, and useful information.
So get ready to take notes
and have some fun.
It's now time
for the Senior Zone.
Greetings and welcome to the home of the Senior Zone. I am your host, Sean Perry, and I want to thank you for spending your next hour with us here on the Senior Zone, where it's been our mandate to discover the topics and discuss the issues and concerns facing seniors today, uniting seniors 50 and up with tips and directions to senior programs and services, tools and resources, events and advice here on the Senior Zone. It's our hope that we inspire, impact, influence, and improve the quality of life for older adults everywhere. Why? For no other reason, simply because we care. The calling number for today's show, it's 240-638-5430. Well, coming up in just a few short minutes, the Senior Zone, we are going international as we strive to learn the conditions and challenges of seniors around the world, starting with the African country of Sierra Leone. Our guest will be Precious Amabel Lebby. She's a broadcast journalist who is using her young voice to bring power to the voiceless. Afterwards, are you 55 and over looking for employment to help make ends meet? If so, help is on the way as we discuss the only federal program targeted to help older workers. This program is known as the Senior Community Service Employment Program, also known as CSEP. Today's guest will be Prince George's County Department of Family Services. Lastly, we'll close out the show with birthdays of the week as well as news and announcements. But please allow me to thank our sponsors for today's show and affording us this privilege to do what we love to do here on the Senior Zone. And that's keeping our seniors informed, engaged, and inspired to live out their lives with dignity, independence, and respect. So a huge thank you goes to the D.C. Office on Aging, right at home of Prince George's and Montgomery Counties, Legal Counsel for the Elderly, Stewart Funeral Home, and last but not least, Lincoln Heritage. Thank you so very much. Folks, you want to get your pen and pad ready today to take some good and some useful and some relevant notes here on the Senior Zone. As I say, are you ready? Let's go. In just 3 short minutes, we're going to travel over 4,000 miles to the capital of Sierra Leone to learn the conditions of older adults in that country. This first break is brought to you by Legal Counsel for the Elderly, providing free legal and social work services to D.C. residents most in need. Don't change that dial. We'll be right back.
I had money problems for several months and couldn't pay my rent. I explained the situation to my landlord, but he still says he's going to evict me. Is there anything I can do?
I gave out my personal information to someone over the phone who promised to lower my mortgage rate. I wish I hadn't fallen for that trick. Does that mean I'll lose my house?
Sadly, not having the resources for representation is a common reason many seniors are unable to protect themselves. For 40 years, Legal Counsel for the Elderly has been providing free legal services for D.C. seniors who can't afford their own. If you or someone you know is a D.C. resident 60 or older who needs legal help, please visit aarp.org/LCE or call 202-434-2120. Legal Counsel for the Elderly. We're here to defend the rights of D.C. seniors because everyone is entitled to lawful benefits and fairness in the justice system. Visit aarp.org/LCE or call 202-434-2120. Legal Counsel for the Elderly is a nonprofit charitable affiliate of AARP.
Many of us realize we have more yesterdays than tomorrows. Have you given thought to the pre-planning of your life's final celebration? Consider giving Stewart Funeral Home of Washington, D.C. the privilege of guiding you along the path, leading to a meaningful, respectful, caring, and affordable service because your life should be remembered. Stewart Funeral Home can guide you through the latest funeral and cremation options while providing old-fashioned experience with a level of detail that comes from a hometown provider. Isn't your life's final celebration worth pre-planning? Let Stewart Funeral Home be your guide. Call them today at 202-399-3600. That's 202-399-3600. Stewart Funeral Home, located in Washington, D.C. at 4001 Benning Road Northeast. Call them now at 202-399-3600.
Con artists. They'll try anything to get your Medicare card number.
So they can steal your identity.
Commit Medicare fraud.
What can you do? Guard your card.
Guard your card. Just like your credit card.
Nobody gets my number unless I know they should have it.
Protect your identity. New Medicare cards without Social Security numbers will be mailed next year.
Visit medicare.gov/fraud. Stay sharp, people.
Good morning. We are back. This is the Senior Zone, and I am your host, Sean Perry. And today is an unusual day in that we are having an international discussion. We're going to learn what it's like to grow older, to age, in the West African country of Sierra Leone. And with me this morning is Miss Precious Amabel Lebby. She is a broadcast journalist who uses her voice to bring power to the voiceless. She founded an organization that takes care of senior citizens in Sierra Leone. Unfortunately, the senior facility that she is taking care of is the only facility for senior citizens in the entire country that has a population of nearly 7 million people. Precious was recently awarded one of the most influential young people in Sierra Leone. She strongly believes and advocates for seniors as well as women and girls in her community and urges government officials to respond to issues facing her foundation. She is also the recipient of the Mandela Washington Fellowship here in the United States and a citizen of the Republic of Sierra Leone. She always said her passion and action will lead her to success. Precious Lebby, good morning.
Morning, Sean. Good morning, listeners.
How are you doing this morning?
I'm fine, thank you.
Well, welcome to the Senior Zone, okay? I'm excited to have this discussion. And I, too, this will be a learning lesson for me about what it's like to age in your native country, Sierra Leone, the conditions that seniors face, the challenges that they are confronted with. So let's just jump right into it. In your intro, you know, I mentioned, because you gave it to me, there's only one, I want to make sure I'm clear on that, one senior facility in the entire country that has a population of nearly 7 million?
Yes. In Sierra Leone, we only have one place that, well, we used to call it Home for the Aged, that we have all of the old people. Well, we call them the old people back in Sierra Leone. And so you have those that are from the street, because if you have a family, your family do not take you to the facility, the old people's home, right? So most of the ones that we have there are abandoned old people, the aged, the senior citizens. Those are the ones that we have in the facility. And this facility has been run by the government before this time in Grafton, the capital city. But of recent times, for the past 3-4 years, government has not been doing anything substantial for the home. Then I founded the organization, Jenama Foundation, in 2015.
What's the name of the organization again?
Jenama Foundation.
How do you spell that?
J-E-N-A-M-A.
Okay.
Foundation.
Okay. Go ahead. I'm sorry to interrupt. I want to make sure I got that. Jenama Foundation.
Yeah. And so this organization, we do a lot of things. But basically, like going back to the question you posed about the only one in the country, it shows you that our country, we care so much about the young folks. We feel that when you are aged, when you go to that age, you should be in your house. You should take care of yourself. And that is what my organization, my foundation is trying to break, that if they cared for you, why not care for them? That's our...
So the thinking, the culture of Sierra Leone, if I'm hearing you correctly, is that as you get older, the expectation is that you go live at home and take care of yourself, although you're in most likely declining health, right? As we get older, we have other challenges, right? But the culture of the government of Sierra Leone expects one to take care of themselves as they grow older. Is that what I'm hearing?
Exactly. Right. They give subsidies that they were given before, but that's they expect you, once you grow old, you cannot give to society. You are not beneficial to the state. It means you have to take care of yourself. And if you don't have a family, you are not fortunate. It means you're on the street.
So it sounds like as you get older, you become more socially excluded rather than included in society.
Exactly.
Right. So you're cast aside. And what I'm hearing from you in terms of resources, there's a saying, you put your money where your mouth is. Right. Yeah. You heard that saying before. Mm-hmm. You can always tell where one's value point is when they put their money where their mouth is. Right. Yeah. They're not putting their money where their mouth is.
No.
Are they?
No, no, yeah. It's not possible. And we want to, over and again, we always say thanks to international organizations that actually, we write projects and all. So we have them sponsor it. Like take, for example, they build a kitchen for them or their meeting ground. So you have different organizations that come on board and want to renovate something, but government has only been responsible in giving subsidy, like paying for, the nurses, the caregivers, but it has not been consistent. It has not been consistent at all. And this also could be seen of how much we relate, even as citizens, not only the government, how we relate to all senior citizens. If a senior citizen is working past you and you know this person, this senior citizen cannot cross the road, you will never see a young person overhang.
So how did that, where does that come from in the culture of Sierra Leone? Because, yeah, different cultures revere older adults differently, right? Yeah. And so as you said, you know, if you see a senior citizen, I raise my kids, if you see an older adult sitting down, if you're sitting down and you know, you get up and get that older adult, you know, your seat, right? Yeah. Just out of reverence, respect for the elderly. It doesn't sound like, you know, that sort of culture has been, or it's just part of the Sierra Leonean culture.
Yeah, well, I guess when we talk about now the elderly, the ages, I want to give you an age gap. When 60, mm-hmm. going 70, you are not as strong as you were when you were in your 50s, 30s, 40s, right? Now, that's where the problem is, because we have the culture in Sierra Leone. If a child sees an elderly person, 40, 50, they'll get up. All right, mm-hmm. for the person to sit. But working on the road, seeing a 60, 70, 80-year-old, an 80-year-old person, right, and you just give a helping hand to cross, or even the cars to stop and say, that's a senior citizen, you will not see that. Only that you have to be flacking your hand to say that they should stop, like a sign. All right. So it's not a culture in Sierra Leone for citizens to respect people and senior citizens, even though they are not giving back to society because they are aging out.
Yeah. I want to paint a picture for our listener. We're talking about the West African country of Sierra Leone. It has a population of 6 to 7 million, folks. It's a very young country. The median age is 19 years old. That's the median age. There's only, of those that are 65 and older, there's only about 3.7% of the population that's 65 or older. In contrast, here in the United States, 1 in 4 in just the next few years will be over the age of 65. So we have nearly 25% of our population. So it's a big difference there. The life expectancy, from what I've read, and please correct me if I'm wrong, Precious, is 58, males 56, females 61. This was as of 2017 demographics. So, and there's a shift, as well from northern and southern, Africa, where the population now is about 50 million for those that are 60 and older. In just the next 30 years, that shift will go from 50 million to 200 million, folks. That is going to have huge implications on social, economic, as well as political lines. And it sounds like West Africa will be squeezed in the middle. There's that demographic shift takes place. What are you doing, or what can be done, even for folks here that want to help ensure that when that shift happens, that Sierra Leone and other countries in the middle don't get squeezed out, and that our seniors, even in your country, can live out their lives with dignity and independence and respect?
I believe it is about that time we need to speak up, because just dreaming that we want to be the change, we want to cause a change, we want our senior citizens to have better life, even when that time comes, is not enough. Mm-hmm. All right. And so we must make, like in Sierra Leone, where I come from, the government should know that the Ministry of Social Welfare Gender and Children's Affairs is responsible not only for the young folks, but also for the old folks. Now we have a new president, and we are hoping that they would look into this issue because they are an integral part of the society. And if we start extincting them now, what will happen when we have the population is growing? And just like you said, we have a huge number. If we cannot deal with just 35 people in a home, right? How much more when we have 200, when we have 500? How can we deal with it? It will be disastrous in our country. And so that is why it's rather unfortunate again, because we do not have much organizations that are advocating for older people in the country.
So what is your new president? I believe his name, is it Bio?
B.O.
President.
Retired Brigadier Julius Mada Bio.
Bio. What's his position? What's his policy regarding the advocacy for older adults?
Okay. So in his manifesto, he talks about inclusive government. Now, when he said inclusive governance, when he talks about the older folks and all, he wanted to integrate them, to empower them. How you can do that? So he had various strategies, but now he has been focusing on the free education, which was one of his flagship programs. He had been talking about rampant corruption to tailor it down. So I think that's what he has been focusing on now. But then equally as important as the free education and all, the attention to be drawn to senior citizens is also of the essence, right? And so if he had promised in his manifesto during the campaign period, of which he said he is going to have an inclusive society, which means all the older folks should be taken care of. Their voices should be heard. They should have a place in society. We must remind him of his promises, that we are listening to him, that he must act just as he has done now with the free education policy. We are holding him in high esteem, and we are hoping for the best for our senior citizens in Sierra Leone.
Well, keep calling truth to that power and pull him on the carpet, you know, anytime that you need to. Jinama Foundation. Did I pronounce that correctly?
Jinama.
I'm sorry. Jinama Foundation. You started. Tell me more about that foundation and what it's doing to improve the quality of life for older adults.
Jinama Foundation is a foundation that does not only care about destitute senior citizens in Sierra Leone, but also those that are well-to-do, those that are in their homes, that have aged, that have been influential in society. What we do most times, we have young people, volunteers in the organization. So we'll say today, we'll go and visit one home that has a senior citizen. We take cards there, we go, we ask them to tell us stories about their past, what made them successful, what were the challenges. So it's like a communion. So they don't feel left out. Like once in a while, they have people that are talking to them. Also, those that we see on the road that are in need, you know when you see them. We try to investigate and then bring them to the home, the St. George's home for the aged, right? Now, when they get there, not all of the time we have the opportunity to take all of the destitute senior citizens on the road. We know those that are in dire need, so we take them. And now they have to go through psychosocial counseling. They have to go through fitness, health, fitness-wise and all. And so when we bring them into this home, we have been blessed to have somebody that is taking care of them. That is the overall head. She's Mrs. Dean. She's also a senior citizen, but she is down to earth and very selfless in her work. Like she relates with them like their brothers and sisters, and they feel so.
And she's been doing this, Ms. Dean, for years now.
Yes.
Many years now. I've read about her.
Yes.
Yeah.
She has been consistent. And even when you want to lay back, she'll always be calling, you know, because she has a passion.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
And so when we go, what we do, some of our activities are we have health volunteers that will go to this home and do health checkups on them.
Yeah, it's important to know, because you did mention Miss Dean, and I know from what I've read, you know, she's been tirelessly, you know, working and advocating on behalf of older adults, even without pay. She's been with, you know, the prior president, right? So she's worked through, you know, the different, you know, governments that have been in place there, and has been steadfast, mm-hmm. you know, working for older adults, as I said, without pay.
Yes.
You know, and getting through that period. And now the home that you talk about, Precious, the name of it is St. George's Home for the Aged. How many seniors are currently there, or how many does it hold?
It holds at present 35.
Okay.
35, of which we have more women than men. We have about 27 women there and men. We just lost one of our senior citizens in the facility.
Mm-hmm.
She just passed away, you know, before I got here. But yes, just like you said, Mrs. Dean, I have been working with her closely, and she has been of great help. And so what we want to say, if she retires today, if she is not able to do this today, what next? Who is going to follow through? All right. Yeah. And so that is why we're also advocating not only like the young folks, but also senior citizens that are not up to maybe that age of 70, 80, but are well to do, are able to move around, to come on board, learn from what she's doing, and let's advocate for this sector of people in yeah. our country.
What's the, I don't know how to word this. What's the, I guess the climate in terms of, or just the makeup of a typical senior, I don't know how that sounds, you know, in terms of poverty and what they're confronted with. Poverty, discrimination, violence, abuse. As you get older, we, you know, that's in this country as well, right? Can you talk about that real quick? We don't have a lot of time, but you know, what are the seniors? This 3.5% are. What are they confronted with on a daily basis?
Yeah, so they're confronted with poverty, as you say, discrimination and abuse. Because apart from me advocating, I do research, lots of research, and some of the things we've been finding, it will interest you to know that some of the women, like one particular one, was in an unfinished building, and she was raped over and again in that place, all right, so before we got her into the facility, right? So they faced discrimination, poverty, because some of them, they've lost their kids, their children. Some of them has gone out. Their only support is themselves. Right, they depend on government. So because of the rate of poverty in the country, and if you have your money, you better spend it on Gucci, Dolce and Gabbana instead of giving to an elderly person or getting sanitary things for her. So you see, because of that, they continue to wallow in abject poverty.
So for our senior listeners that are tuned in right now, for those that may have a relationship or a connection to Sierra Leone and want to support you and your foundation, Janama?
Yeah, Janama.
Janama Foundation. Where can they contact you?
We are on Facebook. It's Janama Foundation for the Aged on Facebook.
Okay.
And also we have our email address. It's jenamar78@gmail.com.
Now let's give it out one more time, and I want you to spell Jenamar. Say it slowly, because Miss Senior, she's out there getting her pen right now. Miss Hattie May is picking up her pen, so she's ready to go. What's the Facebook?
Okay, it's JENAMA Foundation for the Aged.
Okay.
Right.
Okay, that's on Facebook.
Yes, that's on Facebook.
And the email again?
It's JENAMA78@gmail.com.
I like your accent.
Thank you.
Not flirting with you. I just like your accent. But is there, before I let you go, I have 30 seconds. Is there any last remarks that you have that you want to get out to our listeners, and hopefully you can get them rallied behind your cause?
Be nice to any senior citizens, because as you are, so they were. As they are, so you shall be one day. So be nice to them and come on board. Let be the change that we want to see for our future.
You've lived this life before, haven't you? She's a young person, y'all. You don't see it, but she's a very young person with an old spirit. So you've been here before, haven't you?
Right.
We've been speaking with Precious Amabel Lebby. She's a broadcast journalist out of Sierra Leone, West African country, and she's a true advocate for older adults in her country and increasingly around the world. I see a big path for you, Ms. Lebby. So thank you for coming on to the Senior Zone. I appreciate your time here.
Thank you very much.
All right. Folks, we'll be back. If you're 55 and older and unemployed, you don't want to miss this next segment. This next segment is brought to you by our friends over at Stewart Funeral Home, a family tradition for over 119 years.
Many of us realize we have more yesterdays than tomorrows. Have you given thought to the pre-planning of your life's final celebration? Consider giving Stewart Funeral Home of Washington, D.C. the privilege of guiding you along the path leading to a meaningful, respectful, caring, and affordable service, because your life should be remembered. Stewart Funeral Home can guide you through the latest funeral and cremation options while providing old-fashioned experience with the level of detail that comes from a hometown provider. Isn't your life's final celebration worth pre-planning? Let Stewart Funeral Home be your guide. Call them today at 202-399-3600. That's 202-399-3600. Stewart Funeral Home, located in Washington, D.C., at 4001 Benning Road Northeast. Call them now at 202-399-3600.
Right at Home is a special kind of company for seniors and others who need care at home. We start with a full assessment of a person's situation. Then we create a customized plan and match up a caregiver.
We take them from disconnected to connected.
Our professionals help with basic tasks like preparing meals or medication monitoring. We provide support and transportation to doctor's visits and social events.
They become involved instead of uninvolved.
We'll take them where they want to go and help them keep doing the things that they enjoy.
With us, care is consistent, not inconsistent.
And every Right at Home caregiver is reliable, trained, and background checked.
So you can go from uncertain to certain.
It's the right care. Right at Home. Call Right at Home at 301-255-0066. We'll set up a free in-home consultation at your convenience. That's 301-255-0066.
The death of a loved one can devastate a family, especially when the funds are not there to bury them. A unique final expense plan helps you secure the needed funds and save your loved ones, thousands at the time of your death. Most qualify, even with health issues, and it's affordable. Call 410-730-7611. That's 410-730-7611. Again, 410-730-7611. This could be the most loving gift you'll ever give them.
Con artists. They'll try anything to get your Medicare card number.
So they can steal your identity.
Commit Medicare fraud.
What can you do? Guard your card.
Guard your card. Just like your credit card.
Nobody gets my number unless I know they should have it.
To protect your identity, new Medicare cards without Social Security numbers will be mailed next year.
Visit Medicare.gov/fraud. Stay sharp, people.
We are back. This is the Senior Zone. And once again, I'm your host, Sean Perry. And with me is the Prince George's County Department of Family Services. The program we're going to be talking about is the Senior Community Service Employment Program. And with me today is Ms. Diane Bobbitt James. She is Project Director and Program Coordinator over at that agency. She joined the Department of Family Services in 2008, where she has also worked as the Senior Health Insurance Program Coordinator, also known as SHIP, working with and successfully assisting hundreds of Medicare and Medicaid eligible residents and the uninsured. And she's not alone. She's with friends to her left and right, Ms. Shirley Simmons, as well as Ms. Carolyn Rand, attorney there. So you guys want to say hello real quick? Hello. This is a blessed day. I'm surrounded by three lovely, beautiful women, so things cannot get any better today on this Monday. It's all downhill from here. So today what we're going to be talking about, according, as you sent to me this information, Diane, according to a disturbing Government Accountability Office study on unemployed older workers, many face long-term joblessness and reduced retirement security. The number of long-term unemployed people aged 55 and older has more than doubled. I didn't even know that. Has more than doubled since the recession began in 2007. So today, many old Americans are looking for employment to make ends meet. That seems to be an always, you know, endeavor. Always trying to make ends meet, right?
Absolutely.
The Senior Community Service Employment Program is the only federal program targeted to help older workers today. So today's guests, they're here to talk about the program and how it works and connecting seniors with this program if they're having difficulty finding a job. And again, we have Diane James, Carolyn Rand, and Shirley Simmons here from the Prince George's County Department of Family Services. Their office, the Senior Community Service and Employment Program. Welcome, ladies.
Thank you very much, and thanks for having us today.
You guys do something to talk, and let me take a breather.
Okay.
On that. So if you can, Diane, I'll start with you, Diane. What is SCSEP, also known as Senior Community Service Employment Program?
That's exactly what it is. It's called, the acronym CSEP, the Senior Community Service Employment Program, is one that is designed to assist older Americans who are interested in returning to the workplace, and we give them assistance in doing so. Mm-hmm. In most instances, we would show them how to go about, you know, getting the job in the 21st century. Things have changed quite a bit since individuals probably were last employed. So what we try to do is try to make certain that they come up, have some up-to-date methods of trying to get employed. Many times they tell us when they come to see us is that, oh, I believe that I've been discriminated against, you know, because of my age. Now, that might be true, but there are ways to get around that, to be able to really showcase yourself and your interest and your experience in such a way that employers could be hard pressed not to, you know, to hire you.
Right. Ageism is very real. We had a show of about a month or so ago just on that subject there. How long has CSEP, you call it CSEP, how long has that been in existence?
The Senior Community Service Employment Program has been around for quite some time. As a matter of fact, it goes back to Lyndon Johnson with his war on poverty. Actually, it goes back further than that. The concept itself actually started back after the Korean War, mm-hmm. when the veterans came home and they weren't able to find employment. So the government decided, oh, we'll do something for you. We'll try to find you something to do. So they actually sent them out to the heartland, you know, where they learned farming techniques and they trained in that area. And then, of course, after learning so much, they decided that they would buy their own land using, you know, their GI Bill and, mm-hmm. of course, and their equipment and what have you. And those are the folks who feed us today. So, mm-hmm. but the Johnson era came along with his war on poverty, and we became a part of the Older Americans Act of 65.
So it's a federal program. It's not a Prince. This is not a Prince George's thing.
No, as a matter of fact, it isn't. This is a federal program, and of course, our sponsor is Senior Service America right here in Silver Spring, Maryland. Mm-hmm. And of course, we have sponsors across the nation. As a matter of fact, AARP is also a sponsor of the Senior Service Community Service Employment Program.
And the reason why I ask that question is because we have listeners, obviously, beyond Prince George's County.
Absolutely.
So I want to make sure that they also can benefit from listening to today's show as well. There's, I suspect there's a CSEP program in Fairfax, Montgomery, Arlington counties, I suspect.
Correct? Pretty much. Absolutely. That's
okay.
Correct.
Okay. So what are some of the requirements if for those that are listening and this may apply to them? What are some of the requirements for entering into the CSEP program?
Well, to be in the program, you do have to be age 55 or older. Mm-hmm. You have to be unemployed, but looking for work, and you can't have an income more than 125% of the federal poverty level. And you have to be a resident in the jurisdiction that you live. For us, Prince George's County, you'd have to be a Prince George's County resident.
Okay.
Now, a lot of times people get a little concerned about when we say you have to have an income lower than 125% of the federal poverty level. Well, if you're receiving Social Security, we only count 75% of your Social Security. If you're receiving SSDI, we don't count that at all. So if you're disabled, then, of course, you know, you come in as a zero-income participant.
Yeah.
But anyone else, but we do, the entire family income that, you know, for that household has to be 125 below 125% of the federal poverty level.
So we're talking, just for those that are listening, may not understand those numbers.
Sure.
But they know how much they earn. The federal poverty level is what, like 13,000, I believe, somewhere in that neighborhood.
I think we're around $15,000.
Yes. So we're looking at someone.
Correct. We're like $14,999 or something like that.
So if you make more or less than, say, 18, 19, I don't know the exact
number. That's for a family of one now.
Okay.
A family of two could be somewhere around the $28,000 a year mark. And of course, three and so forth and so on.
All right. So 55, you know, somewhere in the neighborhood, if you're a family of one, $18,000, $19,000 or less, you're eligible for the program. I'm just trying to get to the eligibility.
Well, very possibly. But, you know, of course, we would do the evaluation of that individual's income. Once they actually contact us, we take a look at their whatever the proof of income they would bring in to us to ensure, you know, that we're counting only that which we have to count.
Gotcha. So where and how does a person get started?
Well, the very first thing you need to do is contact our office. We're located at 6420 Allentown Road in the Department of Family Services. You can actually come into the office and speak with one of our many case managers, or you can actually give us a call. And we'll be more than happy to send out an application for you to complete and return along with your resume if you have one. It's not necessary to have one. And, of course, we would also ask you to register with the local One Stop. I think most people know that One Stop was one of our strong partners that actually assist individuals in getting employment. So if you're really seriously looking for a job, you'll start with them first. Mm-hmm. But if you are unsuccessful in getting a position as a result of your relationship with them, then, of course, you certainly want to come back to us. And, of course, we will work with you until you get it done.
Gotcha. So we understand what the program is. We got all the requirements and eligibility, you know, out of the way. And Carolyn and Shirley, I don't know when you jump in, but feel free just to grab the mic as well. Let's talk about so once you're in, you've applied and you're ready to go with CSEP. What sort of training and services, you know, are provided, you know, for those that apply?
Well, we have computer software training. We have office administration, counseling, individuals who would like to be in food services. We have for nutrition. We have food handling training, adult daycare services training, maintenance.
Case management.
Is that where you come in, Shirley?
Yes.
Case management?
Okay. Exactly.
You want to talk about that a little bit? I mean, if you want, I don't have it to. You're the subject matter expert on that, but if you want to jump in on case management, just what does that mean and what do you do?
Well, I assist, I'm a participant in the program as well. Uh-huh. And I came, and I got the opportunity. Ms. James gave me the opportunity to be a case manager. I love helping people. I help in today's modern, technology, we are finding new ways or the right way to find a job. So as a case manager, I have a caseload of 20 people and participants, and I assist them with trying to find, employment. We do job searches. They do job searches. If they have any problems with their resume, I've redone their resume with them. It's so many things that in the day-to-day operations, you know, if they have any family issues, we, you know, make sure they're covered. Health issues, we are there for them, assist them. So we're like a big family, and we all are in this together to get a job, because we don't want our age to be the reason why not. We are viable. We are strong workers, and we've been reliable for years and years, and we want to still show that.
Yeah, that's interesting to know, and I didn't know that. You know, that Shirley, Ms. Simmons, went through the program and is now gainfully employed. So she understands it, you know, more than anyone, just the experience of going through and applying and coming out on the other end and being gainfully, you know, employed and adding usefulness and utility, you know, back into our community. And it has to be daunting and just challenging to be at a certain age wanting to work but can't find, you know, work.
It's very much so.
Yeah. So, well, thank you for coming in and sharing that with us as well. Any other remarks, Shirley?
No, I'm just glad to be here.
Just glad to be here.
And this opportunity to tell about how good this program is.
Yeah. And I like those sort of personal stories and testimonies, because that's real. you know, right there. So we're talking with Prince George's County Department of Family Services, specifically their Senior Community Service Employment Program. And with me is Shirley Simmons, who you just heard, Diane James, and Carolyn Attorney, Carolyn Rand, attorney. She's going to be speaking soon, I hope. So you mentioned your training location, Diane. Where is it again?
We're in Temple Hills, Maryland, or Camp Springs. Okay. Depends on what direction you come from. Yeah. We're actually located at 6420 Allentown Road in the Department of Family Services.
Okay.
And I have to say, to be in that particular venue makes it so good for our folks, because many of the individuals who come into our program have special needs. And because we're at the Department of Family Services, we have access to so many different referrals, you know, for them, you know, through the MAP program, where Maryland Access Point is allows us to be able to help people with their taxes, you know, with rent, or needing, who might have food issues, or maybe even some type of healthcare issues for themselves, mm-hmm. or for their family members. So again, we, you know, just kind of run the whole gamut, but we're able to be able to provide that service right there on site for them if they should have a need.
What is your number for folks that are listening and want to call?
That number is area code 301-265-8487.
Give it twice here on the screen.
That's 301.
A little slow.
I know. That's okay. And they're not slow. They're sure.
Yeah, we just don't get it down. We're just between the mind and the pen. We just don't get it.
That's quite all right.
One more time.
No, our telephone number is area code 301-265-8487.
Gotcha. So when folks are training, going through, you know, the training to become, you know, ready for employment, is it an internship? Is there any sort of compensation, you know, during that period of time? And how long typically does the internship period, you know, last?
Absolutely. Thank you so much. Yeah. As a matter of fact, there is this. We do refer to ourselves as senior interns. Well, they refer to themselves as senior interns. And of course, there is a stipend that's paid. We only allow our interns to actually train for 20 hours a week. And of course, they are paid a stipend of what's generally equal to the minimum wage for that particular jurisdiction. For mm-hmm. us in Prince George's County is $10.75 an hour.
Okay.
And of course, they are assigned to host agencies. And those host agencies are either governmental agencies or a 501c3 nonprofit that will actually bring that individual in based on whatever their individual plan is in terms of getting employed. Mm-hmm. And if they have a need in their organizations for that individual to work, they will work with them and make certain that they are trained in that particular field or area. Our host agencies are absolutely wonderful. They keep our interns very, very busy, but by the same token, our interns offer a great service to government agencies as mm-hmm. well as 501c3s. They can't live without them. And that's one reason why we have an expectation that at the end of their term, or even before that time, they'll be able to transition into unsubsidized employment right there at that particular site. And you ask about the length of time for the program. It's a 48-month program. And of course, individuals can actually come and go inside of that program. As a matter of fact, Carolyn Rand has an excellent a story about just how that works and how beneficial it can be. We don't expect folks to stay with us for, you know, the entire 4 years. Mm-hmm. And as a matter of fact, we try to push them out the nest, you know, within about, you know, 12 months of their being there. And sometimes that works, sometimes it doesn't. It depends on how aggressive they are in trying to meet their goal. But again, if someone does leave and they're not successful in their opportunity, then of course they can always return if they're left in good standing.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I can only imagine from an employer standpoint. I think I would be addicted to a 55 and older worker. We understand the value of a job now. We appreciate that steady income. We show up on time. We understand the value of hard work and doing things, you know, the right way.
Absolutely.
I think folks are still trainable at 55. That's a misnomer. I would think for those that, you know, exercise, you know, ageism, you know, today. So let's talk about the story, you know, Carol. I'm gonna bring you in because you're sitting over there all quiet, looking all good over there in the corner.
Thank you.
But let's talk about the story and your experience with CSAP. I don't know anything about the story, so just
okay.
you have the mic.
I came from Detroit. And I relocated here because my daughter was ill and she lived in D.C. Mm-hmm. I have two daughters. They both went to Howard, and I found out that once you send your children to Howard, they don't come home. And if you ever want to see them again, then you come here. Well, she got ill, and I had planned on coming anyway. I was practicing law in Detroit. And my long-term plan was to relocate here, but that kind of sped things up. And I came, and I found out that it was really very hard to find a position in D.C. It's, you know, you didn't know the right people, then you might have a problem. Excuse me. So my older daughter was working with Prince George's County at the time, and she found out about the CSEP program, and I enrolled and was accepted into the program and came into the program, worked as an intern for probably 2 years, and then I found a job. Mm. So I left the program, was working for the Prince George's Circuit Court system, and I had put in hundreds of tons of applications, and was 2 months after I got the job with Prince George's County Circuit Court, then I was offered a job in D.C. as a staff attorney. Mm. And because of the work that they were doing in that program, I decided that's what I needed to do. So I left the courts and I moved to take the job in D.C. Yeah. as a staff attorney working with the program that worked with women who were incarcerated or previously incarcerated.
Yeah. Well, thank you for, you know, your service. It always works that way. When you don't have a job, you can't find one. The minute you get a job, you know, jobs is come knocking at your door. Opportunities come knocking at your door. That seems to be just some sort of law of nature somewhere. So thank you for your service and giving back, you know, as well there. Real quick, the question that comes to mind, Diane, you mentioned, you know, the intern hourly, you know, wage. Does that affect one who is receiving Social Security or SSDI in any way?
That's a great question. As a matter of fact, it does not. Not generally anyway. Mm-hmm. It would really depend on the individual, what their limitations might be. We have folks who are actually receiving Social Security disability insurance, and they're working in our program, and we provide for them what's called a letter that allows them to we call it an exclusion letter, mm-hmm. which allows them to be able to say, you know, I'm working for a stipend and a stipend only and not for, you know, pay. And so therefore you cannot count this against my, you know, my food assistance or my housing assistance. But also the amount that they make in stipend really does not come to the level where they would actually have to be in the program that allows them to make up to $60,000. I'm not sure what's the name of that program. It's,
It'll come back. It'll come back to you. It's called Ticket to Work.
Okay, yeah. It's already here. Okay.
So real quick, we only have a couple of minutes. So how does, you know, the Prince George's, you know, CSEP program, how does that compare or rank to the other programs around the area? Is there a stacking of programs, you know, in terms of how you guys compare, you know, yourself to others?
Well, you know, I'd say across the nation, we probably are in the upper 10% of success rate. We're very, very successful in getting our individuals unsubsidized employment, and we're very happy about that. Mm-hmm. In the state of Maryland, we probably are in the 5% category, where, you know, we are in that top area, you know, where, you know, in terms of being competitive with our friends to the north and south of us,
right.
You know, and we're very, very proud of that. You know, we've met our goal for 3 years running, and we intend to continue to do so as long as this program's in effect.
Well, you know, I could talk to you, you know, much, much longer, but 20 minutes does fly here.
Oh, it does.
You know, when you're on radio. But sure. I want to thank each of you for coming in, Shirley Simmons, Diane James, and Carolyn Rand, for coming in and sharing your testimony, your story, and the information that you provided, you know, to our listeners. Please come back. back.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, let's kind of do this, you know, more regularly, you know, here and share this information, because I think it's such a useful program and it's relevant to many folks that are out there that are looking for employment but can't find employment. And that's, you know, I've been there as well. I'm not a 55, but I've been in a position where I've been looking for employment. So I know that feeling,
sure,
you know, of wanting to provide for yourself and your family and not being able to do so for any period of time. And so I thank you for helping, you know, that demographic out, you know, as best as you possibly can with the resources that you have. So tell the folks over at Prince George's Department of Family Services, hello.
I certainly
and,
will.
And come on back anytime. Lastly, what's the telephone number for those that have been listening?
Again, that number is 301-265-8487.
That's 301-265-8487. We'll be right back after this next break, which is brought to you by Right at Home, when only the best in in-home care will do.
Right at Home is a special kind of company for seniors and others who need care at home. We start with a full assessment of a person's situation. Then we create a customized plan and match up a caregiver.
We take them from disconnected to connected.
Our professionals help with basic tasks like preparing meals or medication monitoring. We provide support and transportation to doctor's visits and social events.
They become involved instead of uninvolved.
We'll take them where they want to go and help them keep doing the things that they enjoy.
With us, care is consistent, not inconsistent.
And every Right at Home caregiver is reliable, trained, and background checked.
So you can go from uncertain to certain.
It's the right care. Right at Home. Call Right at Home at 301-255-0066. We'll set up a free in-home consultation at your convenience. That's 301-255-0066.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday.
Well, 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 it is that time of the show where I have the privilege to acknowledge, to celebrate, to recognize, and honor those that have made it yet another year. And first up, we have Mr. Alvin Nadab turning 62, Social Security eligible today, August 20th, hailing from Washington, D.C. Happy birthday to you, Mr. Nadab. Myself, Sean Perry, yours truly, turning double nickels 55 this Wednesday, August 22nd. So happy birthday to myself. That's right, y'all. Miss Linda Popejoy is 51 on Wednesday, August 22nd as well from Washington, D.C. So happy birthday to you, Miss Linda Popejoy from Legal Counsel for the Elderly. Miss Gertie Wilkinson Hughes is 73 on Thursday, August 23rd from Leesburg, Virginia. Thank you for listening and being my Facebook buddy, Miss Gertie. Mr. Anthony Floyd is 67 on Thursday, August 23rd from Orlando, Florida. Thank you for listening to us, and he streams our show. So thank you for streaming our show and supporting the Senior Zone, Mr. Anthony Floyd. Miss Julie Grimes is the Big 50 on Thursday, August 23rd from Hale Thorpe, Maryland. So happy birthday to you, Miss Julie Grimes. Mr. Emilio Pardo, 55 as well, Friday, August 24th from Silver Spring, Maryland. Thank you, Mr. Pardo, for all the work that you do over at our friends, AARP, that is. Mrs. Diane Maynard Tate, 67, Friday, August 24th from Hagerstown, Maryland. Thank you, Miss Tate, for listening to the Senior Zone all the way up in Hagerstown, Maryland. I really appreciate you. And last but not least, we have Mr. Van Dye Galloway, 54, on Friday, August 24th from Washington, D.C. Folks, to have your birthday or notable event or even achievements mentioned here on the Senior Zone, it's real easy. Just email us at info@theseniorzone.com. That's info@theseniorzone.com. In Senior Zone news and announcements, join the Senior Zone for our A Senior Affair Party event on Thursday, September 20th. You got a full month now, folks, to get your tickets. September 20th from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the Chesapeake Beach Resort and Spa. Live entertainment, always good food, prizes and giveaways, live
line dancing galore from our friends over at Music to Your Feet and Miss Denise Bryant. So just meet us down at the Chesapeake Beach Resort and Spa. I promise you a surefire good time. Tickets are available. They are limited. So you want to go to our website now to theseniorzone.com. Click on the events tab, or you can call us at 202-810-5940, 202-810-5940. Now, here in Washington, D.C., are you interested in helping other seniors connect to useful programs and services? Well, the D.C. Office on Aging, through their Ambassador Program, provides a free interactive training designed to help you help others. So if you're interested in becoming an ambassador, call the D.C. Office on Aging at 202-724-5626. That's 202-724-5626. Moving over into Prince George's County, free fresh fruits and vegetables every third Thursday of each month at 1 p.m. The Bladensburg Community Center at 4500 57th Avenue in Bladensburg, Maryland. They provide free fresh fruits and vegetables for older adults. No ID is required. For more information, call Barbara Givens at 301-277-3775. That's 301-277-3775. Moving back across the lines into D.C., are you a D.C. resident facing foreclosure, behind on your property taxes, being sued by your lender, or simply confronting a mortgage scam? If so, call the D.C. Foreclosure Prevention Hotline at 202-265-2255. That's 202-265-2255. Call them and get the help that you need. Moving up north into Montgomery County, are you in need of transportation in Montgomery County? The Montgomery County Department of Transportation, through their call and ride program, provides discounted taxi rides for income-eligible county residents who are 65 years of age and older, as well as persons living with a disability. For more information on their call-and-ride program, call 301-948-5409. That's 301-948-5409. Here in D.C., the D.C. Office on Aging, their program called Safe at Home promotes aging in place for older adults as well as persons living with a disability by offering in-home accessibility grants that reduce the risk of falls and reduce barriers that limit mobility. To get more information or to begin the application process, call the Safe at Home program. You don't want to miss this one, folks. Call the Safe at Home program at 202-638-0050. That's 202-638-0050. Now, this one applies no matter where you are in the entire country. This is a website. I mention it every week. You got to go there, benefitscheckup.org. That's a website, benefitscheckup.org. Screens for more than 2,500 public and private benefit programs that include help with, check this out, prescription drugs, heating bills, housing and rent, even food and legal services, as well as medical costs, tax relief, in-home services. It includes veteran benefits, employment and volunteer opportunities. Screenings are confidential and it's absolutely free. Go to benefitscheckup.org to find out which benefits that you may be eligible to receive. Well, folks, the pencil broke. That's all she wrote. To have your event or announcement mentioned here on the Senior Zone again, or to share your thoughts about today's show or even recommendations for future broadcasts, call the Senior Zone at 202-810-5940. That's 202-810-5940, or you can email us at info@theseniorzone.com. Be sure to join us next Monday here on the Senior Zone for another senior-friendly and informative show. Until then, don't change that dial. Why? Because my dear friend Dr. Eve Taylor and her show, the Discover Your Why radio show, is up next. Thank you for listening, and until we meet again, be someone who makes someone else look forward to their tomorrow. Have an intentionally blessed week. We love you.
Be sure to join us on our next broadcast.
Until then,
live simply,
love generously,
care deeply,
speak kindly,
and leave the rest to God. Have a wonderful week, and God willing, the Senior Zone will be here for another informative and entertaining hour next Monday morning at 10 a.m.